Hello folks, I'm Tom Azur. I'm the host of Strong Tower Radio Feature. We are today at the Holland Museum here in Holland, Michigan. We have the director and part of the staff, and we're just gonna have a wonderful time. The Holland Museum is a local regional destination, but I think it's a world destination too, and you're gonna learn more about it. My co-host today is the director of the museum, Ricky Levine. Welcome, Ricky.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We're going to have a fun time. Would you introduce the two other people who will be helping us with this interview?
I'd be delighted to. Michelle Stempien is our Education and Community Programs Manager, and Deb Wake is our Volunteer and Education Coordinator.
All right. We're going to have a fun time, but we always start with a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to virtually visit part of our history. It's our history because we're a part of a community here in West Michigan, but we're a community across the state and a part around the world. We're all connected together. And so when we understand each other's history, we understand ourselves better. And so be with us on this virtual tour. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Ricky, tell us a little bit about the Holland Museum.
We'd love to show you our historic homes. So we have to walk down the street. Here we can talk about the community as we walk down there, if you'd like.
And we're walking down a marble stairs, which just makes it awesome.
The original part of the post office. And as you can see, the postmaster door right there. That's
Van
the last
Lynn.
Postmaster of Holland. So we have two houses to go to. We have the Capon House, which is Isaac Capon, who's the first mayor of Holland. As we walk, the first house we're gonna get to is what we call the Settler's House, which was built by an Irish ship carpenter. So we usually start at the Capon House first in our tours, but you can go
That's
either
okay.
way, right?
I can do it either way.
So let's go to the Settler's first since we're gonna hit it first.
Okay.
Centennial Park, we have Park Theater over here, which is a historic theater. And downtown Holland is such a great walking city. We have a lot of rich history of photographs and stories of businesses and people and families that have lived here in the past. This is the Holland Civic Theater. I don't know how long it's been here, but it does have a lot of history as well. So this is the Civic Center down here. This is the location where Isaac Capon's tannery was. He was a partner in a tannery. And this is the location. This burned down, or the tannery burned down in the fire, the great fire we were talking about earlier, as did much
How
of
How big was this tannery?
I don't know what the square footage of it was.
What was?
But the footprint was on this property here.
You know, there's the single artesian tanner. Or was this a corporate or business, larger size?
It was a larger size. It was the biggest business in Holland at the time.
Really? Okay.
And when the fire occurred, it took down his home. So the home we're going to see is one that was built after the fire, so it wasn't the original home he had built. It also took down his church. And when he regrouped, built the church first, the tannery second, and his home third.
So he knew what his priorities were.
He made that very, very specific, yes. But a lot of people didn't think he was going to build the tannery, and so many people were employed there, and it impacted the economy so much, and it was an important piece that he decided to do that.
All right, well, here we are at the Settler's House. This house was built in 1867 by a man named Thomas Morrissey, who was a shipbuilder and an immigrant. It survived the Holland fire.
How did that happen? Everybody else has got destroyed.
The fire was came down part this way, almost to the house, but not quite this far.
Well, it's maybe a little lower elevation than the probably prevailing winds.
I think there was supposedly a river at some point, too.
There's a lot of reasons that it stopped, and there's a lot of reasons that it started, started. But actually, a lot of the streets had straw on the streets. I mean,
really?
They were dirt streets with straw.
Probably for the mud and.
Yes, exactly. But they also were one of the
conduits for.
Right. And we were talking about the tannery. Of course, the tannery used a lot of wood because they were with animal skins and that was part of there. So they had a lot of wood lying around too.
Highly flammable.
Exactly. Went up. Yes.
So Michelle is unlocking the door, and you just heard the door open, and we are now in the Settler's House.
Yes, so this room we're standing in is our education room. This room was added on later, so it wasn't part of the original house. A lot of people have lived in this house over the years. In fact, the last person to live in this house was 1992.
Wow.
And then after that, it became part of the city, took it over, and then the museum manages it. So yeah, a little bit different. This space, I think, was actually probably like a kitchen and a bathroom that was added on. And then when we converted, the museum converted it into an education room. So we have some examples of artifacts that were dug up from the backyard.
Oh, they're right here on site.
Yes, right here on site.
There's a lot of artifacts. I see 20, 30 items just in this backyard. It looks like a doll.
Yep, doll, a shoe, some
marbles.
Bottles, marbles. So yeah, so
harmonica.
We have cocoa.
Cocoa, yeah. Well, that was trash, probably.
We spend a lot of time when we bring kids in here, school groups, to tour the houses. We have them, you know, being a historian. We have them do an activity where they look at pick an artifact, draw it, and then talk about what they think it was, who might have used it. So they really are starting to try and think as a historian. So, and we do. We have a list of people who have lived in the house, starting from Thomas and Anna Morrissey in 1867. And going all the way up until 1992, 96, when the city of Holland took over.
Fun fact, one of our current board members had an aunt and uncle live here, a great aunt and uncle that lived here.
Wow, and I'm seeing marbles. Those are not glass marbles. Are they clay or
they
are
look
they
like
stone?
Clay.
Yeah, those are clay, and then there's some glass ones below.
Some glass
there
ones.
You go,
and
yep. Top.
So when we go into the house, we actually go in what would have been the back door of the house. And we walk into the main room. The style of the house is called a hall and parlor house. So we are standing in the parlor. And this
But there's a bed in the parlor.
Exactly,
what's up with that?
Well, this was their very all-purpose room. So it would have been where the parents slept. If there was a baby in a cradle, probably the cradle would have been down here as well to be close by the fire. But it was also where they would have eaten. They have a dresser in here. We have some examples of sewing materials and some chairs because this is where the family would have spent their time. And the Morrisseys, we do know eventually they had 5 children. When they first moved into the house, when they built it and moved in, they had 3. So eventually in the 4, they lived here about 3 or 4 years. In that amount of time, they added 2 more children. So it's just to give an idea of what the house would have looked like. Because we've had so many owners, we have objects, we don't have original objects from the house, but we have objects that will give you an idea of what it looked like in 1867. So we have a rope bed. If you pull on every night when they would go to sleep, they would have to tighten the ropes because as you sleep over the course of the night, it loosens and you eventually start to kind of sink down. So every night you tighten them, and that's where that phrase sleep tight comes from.
Yep.
Because they have to tighten the ropes.
It's not bed bugs, it's bed buds. That's where that story comes from.
What is a bud?
You know, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs
right.
bite. It's sleep tight, don't let the bed buds bite, which are these knobs that
hold
the
okay.
See, I just learned that too.
I learned that from one of our volunteers.
There's knobs that hold the ropes that keep the bed, suspend the bed.
Yes, so there is wallpaper, and we do have an example of the original wallpaper over one of the windows. So the wallpaper that's in here is a reproduction of what an original layer of wallpaper looked
nice
like.
Nice reproduction.
And they would wallpaper every year or so because the wallpaper would help insulate the house, keep the cold air out from the cracks, and also help keep insects out.
Really, but probably also got faded and dirty from
very
the stove.
Very quickly.
So yeah, and this is a more recent stove. This wouldn't be what the Morrisseys had. This came later, and it came with wealth. So the Morrisseys probably had a wood-burning fireplace.
Above their standard.
Yes. So moving from the parlor, we move into what is the hall of the house.
This is like 5 by 8 or a room, or 6 by 8 room.
It's very small, and it does have another example of what a stove would maybe have been like. That would have been for cooking. So a little bit bigger. And so this is where the kitchen, basically. So we do have a little storage area, pantry area, where they would have obviously stored food that they were keeping for the winter, and you know, pots and pans and things like that would have been stored under there. And this is where they would have made the food, and then they would have eaten out in the parlor.
You have the studs exposed for, is there a reason for that?
I think just to give people an idea of how the house is constructed, so people can see what would be underneath.
A real 2 by 4. 2 inch by 4 inch.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
You want to talk about that wallpaper?
The wallpaper here in the hall has this very bright green color. We do have an example, again, of above the window of the original paper. That green from the original paper, not the reproduction, but that green was made with arsenic.
Oh, this is not
so
good.
So don't lick the wallpaper.
Well, is there an upstairs or?
There is an upstairs. I do want to point out one artifact that we do have. This was found in the walls of the house.
In the walls.
Yes, it is a flyer from 1871, from right after the fire. It's a flyer calling the citizens to a town meeting to talk about what they're going to do to help the people who were affected by the fire.
Sweet.
So we have this on display in the settler's house because we found it in the walls of the house when they were doing the renovations and getting it back to what it would have maybe looked like in 1867. So it does have an upstairs, a very small. We don't take our visitors up there because the steps are very steep, but we do have a picture of it. So you can see that there's a bed and a couple of chests, and there's a little doll crib up there. So it's a very tight, narrow space. And again, we said the Morrisseys had eventually five children, so most of their children would have slept up there. It would have been a very tight space for their kids. So the kids spend most of their time, they would be outside or down here doing chores or doing the other kid kinds of things, playing outside or doing chores, going to school, those kinds of things, but they were outside. This upstairs would have been for sleeping.
Michelle, the trunks that they had there, they each had their own trunk, is that correct?
Yes, so, and these are probably a lot bigger than what they would have had. They probably would have had like a small box that they would have kept most of their belongings in.
It's not very decorative.
No, it's not. It has a nice, rag rug on the floor, and that would have been probably similar to what they would have had. It would have been probably quite chilly in the winter.
Absolutely.
But again, it was for sleeping, and they probably would have had a couple of beds, but a couple of kids in each bed.
Notice, Tom, that there's no bathroom.
There's no bathroom.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So there was an outhouse.
Yes.
Well, not only that, as I'm looking at this picture of the upstairs, I don't see any insulation. I don't think you stayed too long there in the winter because it was cold. I don't think you spent too long in the summer because it was hot.
Because it was hot. Exactly.
And you were saying about the outhouse.
So. Well, we have a replica of where the outhouse was probably in the back here.
So we always get that question. The kids always want to know, is that an outhouse? Well, it's supposed to look like what the outhouse would look like. They all want to see it. We're like, no.
And where's the shower? No.
Yeah, none of that.
Well,
so
Lake Macatawa is just down the street.
That's right. Well, that was a seasonal bathing, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. So it would have been probably weekly in a big metal thing and big metal
tub.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And hauling the water in and heating it up, and that's how they would have done baths. So.
So we're proceeding.
We are now proceeding to the Capon House, which was built in 1874 and was the house of Isaac Capon, who was the first mayor of Holland, and his family. So
Very
we're heading
good.
There.
Let's go.
So the grounds here are maintained by the Holland Garden Club. There are a bunch of incredibly talented women, and we're actually just redoing some of the gardens because things got overgrown. So we have new plantings coming in that we're very excited about.
Well, and I think they're also thinking about plantings that will be more period. Yes.
More period and easier to maintain as well.
So as I said, the house was built in 1874. It is an Italianate design. So we can tell that by the very tall windows and the decorative cornices by each corner and around the windows. Everyone asks us why isn't it like a Dutch style, because there's a very clear Dutch architectural style. And Isaac Capon was Dutch, but he felt, I live here in the United States. He wanted to be a little more worldly, a little more international. So that was the style of the house.
And you will find most of the houses that were rebuilt after the fire are not of Dutch
architecture. They're much more diverse.
The European impact from other parts of Europe really influenced a lot of builders at the time.
Did you bring a calling card?
I don't have a calling card.
No calling card?
I do.
If the lady's at home and if she's accepting company.
No, well, tell us about that. What was the industry? Here's a calling card.
There we go.
I'll give you this one. It's a Strong Tower Radio promo card.
So your reaction is exactly the kind of reaction that the Capons would like to have when people walk in. So the front entryway is very grand. The ceilings are very tall. It's very ornate. The woodwork is amazing. It's all original. It is a black walnut and white ash, right?
Yes.
It's ash. Yes. Okay.
That is, however, not wood, and Michelle will tell you
that.
What
is this on the stairway? The wainscot, or what is
it? This is called Lincrusta.
Okay.
And it is actually compressed wood pulp, and it actually comes out in a roll, like kind of like wallpaper, but it's actually was made by the same people who made linoleum.
Okay.
And this is original to the house, so we really can't replace it, but it's textured. So it has these lovely designs and it's kind of this beautiful brown color, but you can paint it.
Wow.
So it was something that was beautiful, but it had to be very utilitarian function. in that it was a little less expensive than having like
paneling.
Paneling or something like that that was much harder to maintain, but it still gave this beautiful high-end look, but it's really quite spectacular.
When I first came in here and I saw it, I thought, well, he owned a tannery, so is it supposed to replicate leather? I mean, that was my impression when I first saw it. There's a sample square down there that gives you an idea of what the product
kind of
is.
What it feels like.
The students touch.
What we let people touch, yeah, yeah. Because it's because we can't touch that. But it's
relief. It has depth to it. It's not quite a quarter inch deep, but it has a lot of figures and shapes and.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And as Deb would say, that you know, of course, someone would call at the house and give their calling card, and if Mrs. Capon was receiving, then the maid would show the visitors into the parlor.
Which is off the first door on the right, off the hallway.
Exactly. The fanciest room in the house that would normally be closed off unless it was in use.
The kids didn't play in here?
Kids did not play in here. The only time kids were allowed in here is when they were invited maybe to play the piano, and there's this lovely piano.
For the guests.
For guests, for some kind of function, or sometimes they had family weddings and funerals also in this room, so then the children would be allowed in here. Otherwise, it was closed off. So it's very ornate. Again, very high ceilings. The medallions on the ceiling where the light fixture is are original to the house.
All the way around, about 3 feet wide, about 2 or 3 inches deep, a lot of relief to it, depth
yep.
to it, flowers, curling, all kinds of fancy
Absolutely
stuff.
Absolutely beautiful. So a lot of the things that we have in the Capon house are original to the house and original to the family because only Capon family members ever lived in this house.
Wow.
So they had a lot of children. So Isaac and his first wife had 11 children. And
how do you divide that up between the children?
And well, then, there's more.
And there's more. Okay. And then after the first Mrs. Capon passed away from cancer, about 4 years later, Isaac married again to a much younger woman named Jacoba, and they had 5 children, so a total of 16. Now, of course, older children had already moved out, and some of the oldest children didn't even live in this house because it wasn't built till they were much older and already had their own residences. But so we think about 7 or 8 children would have lived in here at once. And of course, the youngest children definitely all grew up here. But one of the children, Levina Capon, lived in this house until 1974.
Wow.
And upon her death, the house was bought by the city and now maintained by the museum. So she kept so many things.
This room is about 15, 20 feet. This is looks like another parlor, but it's the sitting room, I guess.
This is the sitting room in the study. So this is where
Isaac,
very high ceiling, again, another wonderful, beautifully ornate medallion.
Original
desk of Isaac Capon and his original books. So some of them are in English, some of them are in Dutch. He only had a 4th grade education, but believed very strongly in education. All of his children went to public schools. Many of them went to college, including the girls. This is where he would conduct some of his business from the tannery, which was just down the street. That was his business that he owned with a partner named John Birch. It has its own external exit and entrance that his business people could come directly to this door and meet with him rather than going through the front door and disturbing the rest of the household.
Multiple chairs and sitting.
The children were allowed in this space in the evenings when he might be reading or working on household accounts. We do have, as I said, we have original things. So we have a doll in this room. The doll's name is Rose and belonged to Ida Capon.
Wow.
So we do know a lot of history about a lot of the objects that we have.
And a little rocking chair the doll was in.
Yes. So moving into the dining room, again, this is a very formal space. So again, continuing, you can hear the echo, the tall ceilings, reproduction wallpaper of what we think. We have some examples of wallpaper on the walls. And we picked one from around 1900, which is what we've kind of restored the house to, is about that time period, and then reproduction. We do have, again, some china and things that belonged to the family, including the silver napkin rings that are on the table. Each family member had their own napkin ring. Everybody's was individual and different because they only did laundry once a week. So everyone had to know whose napkin belonged to who.
Really? I mean, the napkin once a week.
The napkin once a week,
and what's,
yes.
What's interesting, this room is about 16 by 1820, so it's a large space. Now, this is a less ornate. What is this?
Because this is more of a private family space. This is the kitchen.
It looks more like the settlers' cabin.
It does. This is where this was a workspace. So this is where actually the children would come into the house. They would not come into the house from the front door. So they would use one of the side doors back here or a back door to come into the house. They would hang up their coats. There's hooks in this little closet off the kitchen. And there's actually a stairway right off the kitchen. That's the back stairs.
And there's two stairways going upstairs.
Two stairways. So the front stairs were not used by the children or the maid, so they would use the back stairs, which is off
think
the
about
kitchen.
Upstairs, downstairs kind of philosophy.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
There was the servant stairs, the children stairs, and then there was the adults and guest stairs.
Yes. So there is also a cellar in the house, down some stairs. We do go down there with visitors. It's got examples of washing machines, the old crank ones. There's an example of a 1902 electric washing machine down there.
We're very progressive.
Very progressive. And then just some of the other spaces, pantry spaces, what we call the water room, where they would keep the ice box and where the ice would get delivered for the ice box to keep things cold. And then an actual bathroom. Now, what they mean by bathroom was not where the toilet was, because for a long time they had an outhouse. They didn't get indoor plumbing into the early 1900s. So the bathroom was literally the room where you take a bath, and there is the original bathtub, which is made from wood and tin.
Yeah, it's formed tin and wood around the outside, no ceramic.
Nope, and there's no faucet. So I always test the kids, how'd they get the water in the bathtub? There's no faucet.
There's no faucet.
So when we have kids come through here.
But there is a drain.
Thank goodness. But I think that probably came in later. I'm envisioning probably when it was first made, didn't have a drain. There's also, we have a potty chair.
Yeah.
That was
wicker.
Used, yes, a wicker potty chair that was used by the five youngest Kapan children. So we talk about the fact that the Kapan kids, even though they had a maid, they had chores to do too. They would wrap apples from the orchard in newspaper and put them in the cellar. They helped with ironing. They helped shovel snow. So they had jobs to do just like kids today.
Or they should have.
Or they should anyway, yes. The master bedroom is also on this level.
Oh, I didn't see that, okay.
It's right off the dining room. And this was the master bedroom for Mr. and Mrs. Kapan. And there are pictures on the walls, original pictures on the walls of some of the youngest children. And there is a wicker cradle at the end of the bed, and that was again used by the five youngest Kapan children.
And Tom, you can see a door on the end of there that goes directly to the bathroom, so they had an opportunity.
There was a little
master bath.
Yes, exactly. And actually went through another little room that was actually could have been a nursery, so the cradle could have actually been in a little room. There's also a door because there's a closet in this room.
Oh,
and
high class.
Very high class, because Mrs. Kapan, there's actually most of the bedrooms have closets, which at this time, that's how they were taxed as separate rooms.
And
so that's how you could tell someone was definitely of the wealthier
class.
They
weren't worried about the taxes.
They weren't worried about the taxes.
Two questions here. I know it's the size of the bed. That's hardly even a queen size bed.
No, it's probably closer to a full, but that's the size of the bed's pad.
We have a whole different standard today. And I'm seeing a bunch of coat hooks here. I mean, there's a lot of coat hooks here.
I think probably that would have been four guests, but the maid would have gone back there. Because there's a door that kind of cuts this off from the public areas. So I think maid would have gone back to hang things up and then bring them back out to the guests. And then close that door so that guests wouldn't really see it when they went into the dining room. So
we're mounting
the stairs. Now going up the stairs.
Probably of native woods.
Yes, and there's actually tulips carved into the spindles on the staircase.
And you said black oak, walnut.
Black walnut, yes, and ash. So again, very tall ceilings up here, but when you come into the back, we're in the back of the house. There's a back stairways to an attic, and then one bedroom in the back here, and this is Levina Kapan's bedroom. So she is the person, who lived in the house for so long and made sure it ended up with the city and with the idea of it becoming a museum. So it wouldn't be here without her. But some bedding that actually was embroidered by a woman's group here in town, and actually there's a little square that was embroidered by her mother. It says Mrs. Kapan on it. So original bedding, and but again, to give an idea of like what a room would have looked like, her bedroom would have looked like, and in fact, even though she lived here all these years, this was the bedroom she kept all that time.
Wow.
She never changed. But she would have shared it with her sisters.
She never married, and she also was a teacher, home economics teacher.
At Holland High School, yep. And she actually was created some of the first designs of the Dutch costumes that are used at Tulip Time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a wonderful connection.
Yes.
Wow.
So then you can see the very steep staircase, the back staircase.
Yes.
And then the maid's room was up here. And I did mention a second Mrs. Kapan. Her name was Jacoba. Jacoba actually was the maid for about 4 years before she became Mrs. Kapan. And there was quite an age difference between Isaac and Jacoba. So, but that wasn't the age difference wasn't the scandalous part. The scandalous part was that she was a maid and he was the mayor and one of the most prominent citizens of Holland. That was the more of the issue that people had. So clearly a little bit simpler room, but the chest underneath the window, it belonged to Jacoba. That was her chest that she brought. She was an immigrant also from the Netherlands.
This is so amazing because most of our history is lost, unfortunately, and this so much is intact in this.
Yes.
And again, as Michelle said, it's a tribute to Levina because she's the one who really wanted
history. She held the history.
She
was a repository of history.
She was. Yes. She was.
So this room we've entered in, we also kind of use as an education room, but this would have been the kids' area. So upstairs, away from the adults when they're entertaining, this is where the kids could hang out, read homework, have friends over. There's a bedroom off of this area that was used by Abraham Lincoln Capon. He was the youngest child of the first family. So he was a teenager when the younger children were in this house and playing. So he kind of had a room a little bit more off to the side and a little more private.
And his name, it tells you how Isaac Capon thought about Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
He was Isaac Capon was a staunch Republican and a very pro-Lincoln advocate.
Was it that period or just afterwards?
Well, yes, because this house was built in 1874, so yes. So after Civil War, yes. And Isaac was born in 1830, so and came here in 1847 when he was 17.
Wow.
So the one artifact that we love to show in this room that we point out to all the kids is we have pictures of Franklin Capon, who was the youngest child of both families. He was born in 1900. We show pictures of him wearing a dress, which is what young boys did until they were about the age of 5 when they went to school, and they had long hair. So we always show the picture of him with his long curls, and then we show the curls.
Oh.
We actually still have the curls. And,
well, and that is definitely, it's a tight curl of about an inch or less.
And blonde hair, yep. He had very curly hair, even when it was short.
And his sisters were distraught when his curls had to be.
They wrote about how sad it was when he got his curls cut off. He was fine with it, by the way, but they were distraught.
We also have lots of report cards from some of the children, so it's always fun to look
Sweet.
At as well.
I was looking at that.
And then we have a spare room. This would have been a bedroom used by children when there were so many of them in the house.
Wow.
But eventually became a guest room. And Mrs. Capon, Jacoba, the second Mrs. Capon, used it as a sewing room. And so we do have some of her sewing items, dress form and the sewing machine and things.
You know what I see about that room and this room is, this is a wonderful playroom because it's elevated. You can look out over, probably could even see the boats coming in.
Well, and this was the guest room because it would have had, now there are houses that block some of the view, but it would have had a spectacular view of Lake Makatawa.
And this room is 18 by 24 or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, and all those beautiful tall windows I was talking about with the Italianate design so you can see out. So the last room on the second floor was a nursery. And eventually became a playroom for the children as they got older. So we have a lot of examples of toys, many of them left from the family, the children. There is a baby jumper rocking chair. It would rock, you could sit up in it, it would bounce up and down. This dates from 1900 and we know it was used by Franklin Capon.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. Well, I want to thank you for such a wonderful visit and I'm sure glad that this history is here. For our listeners across the state, across the world, this is a destination. It's a destination to come and come to the Holland Museum, come to see these two houses, the a common person's house, and then the Capon house here. I'm Tom Majeur with Strong Tower Radio. My co-host has been Ricky Levine. Ricky, thank you. What a wonderful tour.
Oh, it's been our pleasure, Tom. So glad you could join us.
And want to thank Michelle.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And Debbie is off on another mission. But I'm Tom Majeur for Strong Tower Radio. Until next time, bye now.